We are very happy tonight to welcome our brother from South Korea, Pastor Ji-Hoon Park. Our brother has been in the province for about 11 months or slightly over it, from the beginning of last September. He came to hear of our denomination through some messages that he heard, particularly on the internet, and messages of Dr. Paisley's. And he was very interested to come here for a year just to learn from our denomination. He is an associate pastor of a very large church in Seoul in South Korea. And he requested from a senior pastor permission for a year's leave to come across here. He has a wife and two children, 8 and 6 years of age. And he's only seen them for about a fortnight in the last 12 months. They spent a little time together at Christmas. He's been sitting in on classes at the Whitfield College of the Bible and spending time with our ministers as well, speaking with them. I first met him at the week of prayer. We'd heard that our brother had been here. We'd seen him at some meetings, but hadn't had the opportunity to speak to him before that. He has taken a special interest in my sermons and had asked for sermon notes, and I'd sent him the series that we did on Jonah, and he came back having read all of those and very keen for a few more. He had listened to a number of my sermons on the internet and maybe knew a little more about them than I maybe knew about them myself. He had studied them so closely. And then he came back wanting more, and I gave him every type sermon I had, which was maybe 1,100 or thereabouts, or maybe slightly more than it. And he's very keen to have a few more than that as well. He would like every one that I wrote by hand, and I don't know how many hundreds of them I might have over the years. But we're very glad that our brother's here. We've asked him to do two things for you tonight. We've asked him to tell you just a little for a few minutes about the cause of the gospel in the land of Korea, South Korea, especially the land that he comes from. And then he's going to tell us how he came to Christ, gave us a little of his testimony as well. But you're very welcome. And may God bless you. Just clip that onto your right.
Here.
Yes. First class.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mamula, for your kind word of welcome. Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Ji-Hoon Park, and I come from Seoul in Korea. This is my great privilege and joy to tell you about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. As Mr. Mamula said, I'm an assistant pastor serving one of a conservative Presbyterian church in our country. The name of our denomination is Hapsin, and I just finished the 2 semesters studying in the Whitfield College of the Bible. Today, I would like to speak of 2 things. First, the short introduction of my country in relation to Christianity, and second, my testimony. Before I do this, I would like to read some portion of God's Word. Please turn with me. Book of Romans, chapter 3. Book of Romans, chapter 3, from verse 19 to 26. From verse 19 to 26. This is God's word. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and justify of Him which believes in Jesus. Amen. First, I want to speak of a brief introduction of our country in relation to Christianity. Korea is a small peninsula dividing the Sea of Japan on the east from the Yellow Sea on the west. It lies between two ancient and bitter rivals, China and Japan. Because of this geography, the Koreans have long been subject to war, occupation, and the atrocities which go with both. In the past, Koreans were enemies, Buddhist, Confucian, and atheist. Its first Christian missionary was the German pietist Charles Guthuloff. In 1832, he had come from Manchuria and arrived in Goedo, which is now a southern part of South Korea. He found at the time that Christianity was unknown even by name, but he sought the permission of the king to introduce it to his nation. A request was sent to by email and took several weeks to answer. During that time, he distributed Bibles and Christian tracts among the educated classes who could read Chinese. And so to help them in any way he could, but the request was denied, and so the eager missionary was sent packing. 30 years later, in 1866, Robert Germain Thomas came to Korea. He was a Welshman by birth and an associate of a London Missionary Society. He had come to work in China, but when he discovered that educated Koreans could read the Chinese script, he sailed south with more Bibles and tracts. His ship, the General Sherman, reached the mainland and sailed up the river to Pyongyang, which is now North Korea's capital city, but were warned to leave as they did not want foreign trade. But the captain opened the fire. The chief police, Lee Hyun-ik, boarded the vessel and was kidnapped, and his official seal was taken from him. The boat continued to sail up river while angry crowds lined the shore demanding the chief's release. Then the army was called out to fire the cannons against the ship. By this time, the ship had floated onto sandbank as tide was going out. Fire rafts were sent out towards the ship. Thomas opened his case of Bibles and started to throw them to those who lined the shore, shouting, Yaso, Yaso, which means Jesus, Jesus in Chinese. Wang Myung-dae, a 20-year-old youth, witnessed this act. He was so impressed with Thomas that he later embraced Jesus Christ, becoming a founding member of a church near Pyongyang. Thomas, with his clothes on fire, leaped overboard with his few remaining Bibles and swam to the bank and frantically gave out the Bibles until he was captured and taken before the governor. All the 24 crew members and the owner of the ship, Mr. Preston, were executed. Thomas humbly knelt down and begged the executioner named Park Chung-kwon to accept the last one read Bible from him. And Thomas shut his eyes and prayed. The executioner hesitated but then had to do his duty, and so Thomas was beheaded at only 27 years of age. Some accounts stated that Thomas was knifed through the heart, and most of the crew were beaten to death by the angry mob. After many weeks, the execution of Park Chung-kwon was greatly troubled in his mind, and had in fact picked up the Bible and taken it home with him. He was full of regret and remorse as Thomas' martyrdom made a deep impression on his mind, and he repented and believed in Lord Jesus Christ and became one of the early members of Pyongyang Presbyterian Church. A few days after the execution, an edict was issued threatening the arrest for any person who was found in the possession of such books, Bible. Many were thrown away, but some people gathered them up and the pages were used as a wallpaper. After some time, a curiosity arose and the texts were read which were on the walls of people's homes, and as the Holy Spirit strongly worked, the Koreans gradually came to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And this is how Christianity began in Korea. So Korean church proved what one of the church father, Tertullian, said, the blood of a martyr is the seed of a church. And it also reminds us of God's word, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And in August 1906, there was great revival, which is called the Korean Pentecost in Pyongyang, which is now North Korea's capital. And from 1910 to 1945, Korea was a part of a Japanese empire. And from 1950 to 1953, there was Korean War, and our country was divided into two nations after it. During the colony of Japan and Korean War, many Christians were severely persecuted and put to death for their faith. Reverend Son Yang-won was one of them. In 1940, he refused to order his parishioners to pay homage to the emperor as Shinto Shurin, which the Japanese placed at the entrance to every Korean Christian church. The Japanese political police sent Reverend Son in prison for 5 years. With the liberation, he was released, and the Son's family reunited. However, his city became a hotbed of political radicalism with the South Korea Labor Party, the Communist, the most vocal and active force. So his two sons, Dong-in and Dong-shin, were killed for their faith by young communists. But at the trial of his son's killer, Reverend Son Yang-won gave his sermon on the Christian themes of forgiveness, and he saved the young man from a death sentence, and he even adopted him as a replacement son. As follows Reverend Son Yang-won nine thanks in his two sons' funeral. First, I'm thankful to thee, Lord, because thou allowed me martyrs from the sinner's bloodline like me. Second, among many believers, thou entrusted me with this wonderful treasure, so I give thanks to thee. Third, I'm thankful to thee, Lord, because I can give back thee the first and second sons, who are the best ones from my three sons and three daughters. Fourth, martyrdom of one son is precious. However, how can I describe martyrdom of two? So I give thanks to thee. Fifth, it is great blessing to serve thee as believer by an old age. However, how can I compare the blessing to be shot killed in martyrdom, even preaching the gospel until the moment of their last breath? 6. I'm thankful to thee, Lord, because my son was preparing to go to America to study, but now he can go to heaven, the place which is much better than America. Now I am relieved. 7. I'm thankful to thee, Lord, that thou gave me a loving heart towards my enemy who murdered my sons and let him repent and took him as my son. 8. I'm thankful to thee, Lord, that I'm sure that there will be many heavenly sons due to the fruits of martyrdom of my two sons. 9. I give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ in this difficult situation because the Lord gave me not only these 8 spiritual truths, but also joyful heart, pursuing godly love and faith with composure. And 2 years later, Reverend Son himself suffered martyrdom. In 1950, when the Korean War broke out, the North Korea's People's Army swept throughout the place he lived. Before they retreated, when they were defeated the next month, they captured the Reverend Son, but he preached the gospel to the enemies who were beating him with a rifle. As he sensed that his death is at hand, he praised the Lord with his favorite song, The Bright Heavenly Way. This is one of our favorite, beloved songs by Korean Christians. To well-known Scottish song Annie Laurie, William Swollen added his verses. Swollen was a missionary from North America who volunteered to come to Korea. After Korean War in the South, the Christian churches were thriving in number, growing in grace as well. So now the population of Korea is about 50 million, and statistics show that there are around 10 million Christians in Korea, and around 20,000 Korean missionaries sent to many countries for spreading the gospel. In spite of all these blessings, nowadays Korean churches are facing many challenges, such as charismatic movement, new apostolic reformation movement, ecumenical movement, and many kind of heresies. So, sadly speaking, there are even churches not preaching gospel anymore. So it's said that Korean churches are in serious danger of losing its taste and power as a salt and the light in the society. However, there are still many sound biblical and evangelical churches, and they are preaching gospel and fervently evangelizing and praying for revival. And one of the great concern of Korean churches, of course, our persecuted brethren in North Korea. It is said that about 200,000 to 400,000 underground Christians still live in North Korea. Many have been beaten, tortured, or killed because of their faith. So please pray for our persecuted brethren in North Korea. And I also personally hope your denomination would pioneer Pre-Presbyterian Church in our country. So this is our short introduction of our country in relation to Christianity. Now I want to bring my testimony by sharing 2 big events that greatly affected in my life so far. First is, of course, the event that I got saved by God's grace. Since I was born in a non-Christian family, I didn't go to church in my childhood, except for a couple of times, such as Easter or Christmas Day. When I was a middle school student, one of my school friends brought me to his church, which was one of a Presbyterian church in our areas. And short time later, I was convicted of my sins by preaching, and I suffered a lot from my guilty conscience and the fear of God's dreadful judgment. So I was desperately seeking for my sins to be forgiven. But I didn't know of God's way of saving sinners. So I sought for the answer of my spiritual struggle in wrong ways for almost 3 years. Instead of trying to find it in the Bible. For example, I sought a spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, because those days I had many Christian friends who had a Pentecostal background. Of course, now I don't believe that that is biblical. Anyhow, at the time, they often emphasize the spiritual gift in Christian lives, and they seem to have a strong confidence over their salvation. So I thought, if I got spiritual gift of speaking in tongues like them, I would have confidence of my salvation, and my terrible sense of guilty conscience would go away. But they didn't work that way. So I also tried to get saved by doing a lot of church works, such as a choir member and Sunday school staff, and I eagerly attended every worship service and prayer meetings. But I didn't tell my spiritual struggle to anyone, even to my pastor. So I got baptized with other students as the baptismal season came. Because my pastor assumed that I was saved, and I also tried to persuade myself, I am real Christian, I'm saved. However, as the time went by, my guilty conscience and the sense of God's dreadful judgment got worse and worse. While I was troubled over my salvation quite a long time, one day I was introduced to a godly pastor by my friend. We began talking about spiritual things, and he noticed that I was not yet saved yet, so he directly asked me, "Gion, are you saved? If you're dead right now, would you be able to go to heaven?" In fact, I was very embarrassed with his question, but I answered with him, "Of course, I'm saved. I got baptized." He asked me again, "Okay, then, can you tell me the ground that you are saved?" I was even more embarrassed with this question, because I had never thought about that before. But I replied to him, "Okay, firstly, I attend every worship service, Wednesday service, prayer meeting on Friday night, and even sometimes early morning prayer meeting. Second, I like reading Bible and praying to God. Thirdly, I try to behave nicely to people. And firstly, I'm working as a choir member and a Sunday school staff at my church." And I couldn't say any more. Having listened to me, the pastor told me, shaking his head, "No, they can't be the ground of your salvation." And in spite of myself, I got angry at him and bluntly asked him, "Pastor, then you tell me, what is the ground that you are saved?" And he smiled and answered me, "Okay, Gion, I can tell you more than 1,000 and 10,000 of ground that I'm saved." And he said to me, "First, the blood of Jesus Christ. Second, the blood of Jesus Christ. Third, the blood of Jesus Christ. If there were 1,000, 10,000 of ground that I'm saved, they all must be one. That is the blood of Jesus Christ." I was totally struck by what he said, yet I didn't understand what he meant at that night. About 8 months later from the day, I became university student, and one of my Christian friends presented me a book which was written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It was the first volume of the Exposition of Romans. I bought the rest of the books and read them by day and night, considering Bible references. And God opened the Bible to me, and I became to understand the meaning of what the pastor said on that day. Having studied Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to 26, I became convinced the faith in the person of Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work through shedding blood was the only way God has appointed for sinners to be justified. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24. "Being justified fully by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, And from verse 25, 26, I came to understand that the reason why God's salvation must be that way. God is not only abundantly loving and gracious, but is infinitely holy and just. Therefore, God can forgive and justify sinners only based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, which fully satisfied God's holiness, justice, and the demands of His law. And look at verse 25-26. Whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. And by this truth, I was persuaded that God saves the sinners coming to Him in His terms, namely coming to Jesus Christ and trusting in His redemptive work by shedding blood. So one night, I rested upon Jesus Christ and His finished work. And thank God, God saved me by His grace. And I shout two things immediately after I got saved. First, hallelujah. Second, John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I couldn't, but running out from my place, there was midnight. But I saw one man passing by, so I ran to him and told him, so are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If not so, trust Him, and you will be saved just like me. Then he looked at me with angry face and said to me, are you crazy? Then he went away. Looking back to that moment, I can completely understand him. And I even thank God for the fact he didn't hit me. Anyhow, I was full of joy on that night, not because I was crazy as the man said, but because I was saved. My sins was forgiven, washed by the blood of my Savior, and I was clothed by Christ's perfect righteousness. And 12 years later, after I got saved, I became a pastor after finishing 3 years of theological courses. And I have been serving the church, which I mentioned above. And 8 years ago, I came to know your denomination through a sermon audio. When I listened to a sermon preached by pastors here, I found my heart was touched because they contained the same gospel message that saved my soul. That is the glorious person of Jesus Christ and His finished work by shedding blood. As a young pastor, I often ask myself, what is the biblical and sound church which God is pleased with in this apostate age? Then I thought I could learn about this question through the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. After some prayerful thought, last year I finally asked my senior pastor and session to give me 1 year of leave to study here for my future ministry. And thankfully, following a discussion with the Reverend Ferguson, the Whitfield College of the Bible accepted me to study as an external student. Now I just finished the 2 semesters, so I'm returning to my country 1st of September. It's coming soon. Anyway, that's why I came to this country. Now, my Christian friends, I want to ask you this question. Is your heart touched by the person and the blood of Jesus Christ? Not sometime in the past, but at the present time. As you live your Christian lives, are you making much more of His precious blood and His glorious person as the God-man, which makes His blood infinitely valuable and perpetually powerful? I came to this country only because this church preaching gospel, this church exalting the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I believe you are more responsible for it. So if not, so I pray that God may use this testimony to touch your heart so that you will be brought close to Lord Jesus Christ during this service. And my friends, if you are not saved, as a Scottish theologian Thomas Halliburton said, saving faith is nothing but a heart acceptance of God's way of saving sinners, and faith in the person of Jesus Christ and His redemptive work through shedding blood was the only way God has appointed for you to get saved, because a holy and just God can deal with simple man like you and me in mercy, grace, and peace only based upon what Christ has done on the cross on behalf of sinners like you and me. And Jesus Christ is not far off from you. God is very close to you. Wherever the gospel is preached, He is passing by you right at the moment. And Jesus Christ speaks to you, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Therefore, my friends, come to Christ. Trust Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and believe on Him. Accept Him as your Savior, and God shall save you by His grace, just like He saved me. So my conversion was the first big event that greatly affected my life. The second big event that greatly affected my life was my mother's death. I sometimes attend a Korean church in Belfast, just a small group, 6 or 10. And there is a Korean lady married to an Irish man. She is a Christian, but her husband is an unbeliever. A couple of months ago, she wanted to visit Bellarmina Free Presbyterian Church. So I brought her and her child to Bellarmina congregation one Sunday morning service. And Miss Korea thought she was my wife and introduced her as my wife to congregation in the morning service. Of course, Miss Korea was much embarrassed after coming to know she was not my wife. And Mr. Ferguson met me in college after hearing that story from Miss Korea. And he asked me, Ji-hyun, how did you become a polygamist? So I must tell you that I'm not a polygamist. And I want to introduce my family, especially my real wife, to you. I have one wife and two children in Korea. First child is now 8-year-old boy, and his name is Yegyeom, which means be humble like Jesus Christ. And second one is now 6-year-old girl, and her name is Yesung, which means praise Jesus Christ. 8 years ago, the day just before my first son was born, my wife got a call from police station, and she was trembled and shocked to hear that my mother committed suicide. My mother was a very quiet, loving, and tender Christian woman, but she had a serious mental problem and suffered a lot from the depression. In our country, when funeral happens, the family of the deceased should stay in a funeral hall for 3 days and receive the mourners by day and night. So after I heard that heartbreaking news, I and my wife stayed at a funeral hall. It began to receive mourners. But my wife had begun to have a labor pain. So I hastily took her to the hospital. But I had to get back to the funeral for leaving my wife. When I was about to pray for her, suddenly the story of Rachel came to my mind. And please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35 from verse 16 to 20. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but little way to come to Ephrah, and Rachel traveled, and she had had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem. This is the story that Rachel gave birth to her second child on the trip from Padan Aram to back to a promised land in the vicinity of Bethel. Yet the birth of her youngest cost her life. So she died voicing her frustration and tears, Benoni, which means son of my sorrow or son of my affliction. Yet Jacob changed of his youngest as Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand, because he believed God's promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and himself. And the promise was this, he shall be a blessing to many nations, a blessing through innumerable offspring. And this promise was ultimately pointing to Jesus Christ. Later on, the story of Rachel quoted by Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, with the background of infant genocide by King Herod in Jerusalem. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. According to this interpretation of the Holy Spirit, Rachel refused to be comforted by God's promise due to her serious and severe affliction. But Jacob believed God's promise, even in the sorrowful situation. I told this story to my wife before I prayed for her in the hospital and said to her, Honey, this child is not the son of our sorrow and affliction, but the son of our right hand. Remembering this, let us give him English name as Benjamin. We had already given our first son Korean name. So my first son had both Korean name and English name before he was born. As I already said, his Korean name is Yegyeom, which means be humble like Jesus Christ. And his English name is Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. So my first son was quite international from the very start of life. And my brothers and sisters, I'm not telling this story to touch your feelings in a sentimental way. I just want to testify that the blood of Jesus Christ has the power not only to save my soul, but also to make me go through hard times, whatever they may be. Because we can be sure of three things. When we looked shedding blood of Christ's blood on the cross. First, God's love towards us, although we may go through dark, sorrow, and miserable situations. This is clearly shown to us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commends his love towards us. In fact, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word commends here means demonstrate. Sometimes we find ourselves lost in understanding why God is doing, what is doing in our homes and hearts. Or we meet those situations that cause us say, like old Jacob, all things are against me. But when we look to cross, even in those situations, God speaks to us, I'm never against you. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I still love you with exactly the same love that I demonstrated on the cross by sparing not my own son. Secondly, when we look to cross, we can also have the confidence that God is all the time faithful to his own promises. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4 says, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. The point of these words or the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ had to happen because they were foretold, promised in the scriptures. So by looking to cross, we can be sure that scripture are infallible and unfailing truth, and God is all the time faithful to his promises. And Jesus Christ bought all the promises in the Bible for us by shedding his precious blood. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So we can say with the Apostle Paul, even in dark days, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his promises. Lastly, when we look to cross, we can be sure that Jesus Christ is able to sympathize with us and help us, because Jesus Christ not only experienced the greatest horror, pain and sorrow when he was on the cross, but also he victoriously overcame all these things. So Bible tells us, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My brothers and sisters, as you already noticed, my English is not that good. So I'm very thankful for your listening to me. Lastly, I really want to emphasize this, even though my English is not enough. Whatever your situation or whatever situation you may be in, look to Christ. Keep on your eyes on the cross. Meditate on a wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ as God-man and the power of his precious blood. Trust God's unchanging love towards you demonstrated on the cross. Stand on God's faithful and unfailing promises, both by the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep close to Christ, who is the friend that loves all times and a brother born for the birthday. I trust God will bless each of you and that he will use this testimony of his saving grace for his own glory. Amen.